If you're thankful for Calvary, can you say amen this morning?
Amen.
Yeah, as we come out of the Easter season, it's a great reminder to know that as these sweated drops of, I had a discussion with my daughter yesterday. She was very answered. That's a very deep discussion for 9:30 in the morning. And Tori said, all I asked was, have you ever gotten into a character in a book? And it turned into a sermon, and I was preaching there, and I don't even know how it developed into that. But as he's just a great review, as he's sweating drops of blood there, he's dealing with his human side that is saying, take this from me. I don't want this. And then he's being compelled that he's still 100% God, knowing that the hill of Calvary stands in front of him, and that is the reason why he's here. And it is so important that we remind ourselves each and every week, each and every day, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And that is a reminder to the church as to what our job is to go out and love people and show them the love of Jesus Christ so that their lives can be changed, knowing that he went to the cross to die for them and to provide the way to Calvary and to provide the way to glory forever and ever. And so great song, great reminder. And to build on that, so many times we read the Bible and they say that there are no original stories other than the stories that exist inside the Bible. In fact, some of your greatest writers, Tolkien and all those guys, their plot lines are just taken straight from the Bible. And so when we read stories in the Bible, sometimes they're kind of sanitized and bleached out to take out all the things that are actually happening there. But as you see Jesus Christ, who comes face to face with a guy who is able to say that I can, to the best of my knowledge, keep the law completely. Jesus Christ looks at this guy who has acquired all of these possessions and all these riches, and his name, as you can see, his name is attached and it has become a part of who he is, his possessions and all the things that he has attained in this life. And when Jesus looks at him and says, go and sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and then you can come follow me. The Bible tells us that the rich young ruler drops his head and walks away. And you see, what we don't see in that story is Jesus chasing after him and saying, did you not hear what I said? Did you not hear what I said? I mean, the badgering doesn't continue. And the takeaway from that story is that, do you know who the enemy of the rich young ruler is in the story? It's the rich young ruler. That's the enemy in the story. The cause of the defeat for the rich young ruler is actually the rich young ruler. And the very thing that he has claimed to be success is actually the very thing that is causing him his greatest ultimate failure. And if you're honest with yourself, when we look at our lives and we look at the things that we just can't come through on, and we look at the defeats in our lives, if you're honest with yourself, you have to walk away and say that the greatest enemy in this life is me. I can't get past myself. And here's the thing. Here is the struggle. We talked about this last week as when we introduced the habitual behaviors that exist inside of us naturally. And we looked at the words of Paul when he says that I did not really know what wrong was until I was educated on the law. And they taught me this is what wrong is. And then I understood what right was. And now I know the difference between right and wrong. And now that I know right, my mind says do right. But there's something inside of me that drives me and all I want to do is wrong. Okay? And that is what we call the struggle. And we have to get past ourselves, offer ourselves as living sacrifices, have our minds renewed each and every day so that we are emptied of who we are and filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can get through the day and we cannot cling to what is wrong, but we go and strive to do what is good, not to make us look good, but to serve and glorify Jesus Christ. Okay? And now as we become sanctified, redeemed, regenerated Christians, sometimes we want to throw the flag up and say the victory's been won. Now listen, I get that the victory has been won. Our place in heaven is there. But when you're here on earth and you're dealing with the daily struggles and the things that cause us to fail, and as we're trying to raise kids, and as we are the walking, living example of Jesus Christ in their lives, then we've got a great big job ahead of us. And so many times in our lives, when we have these trials and these things come up, and we don't handle them appropriately, and things don't go the way that we had planned or hoped, when we walk away, if you're honest with yourself, and I have to be honest with myself, we have to understand that the reason why we fail so many times in this life is because of us. We are our worst enemies. So today we're going to talk about defense mechanisms. We have these subconscious things built inside of us. They are called defense mechanisms. They are called psychological strategies. These are things that your mind put into play when things get stressful, when you feel in danger, when you feel fearful. Your mind subconsciously and psychologically kicks in what is built inside of us and made a part of our personality, and they are called defense mechanisms. And they are there, and we go to them because these have been our place of protection. All right? But it says there that these can come up because of what we deem as harmful stimulus in our lives. And unfortunately, they can result in unhealthy consequences depending on the circumstances and how often that we use them. Okay? So just to say that it happened one time, that's not going to destroy your life, all right? So we're going to look at this in a mature adult fashion and way, okay? So let's roll on here. It says that actually, when we look at our relationship with Jesus Christ and how we continue to build and mature. Now remember that once you become a Christian, you are what's called sanctified. So you are made a saint. You are justified, which means you are deemed not guilty of your sins because of what happened at the hill called Mount Calvary, right? All right. And when that happens, we believe that that is a progressive process through the rest of your life, and you are to become more and more mature as you continue to grow and mature in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, we have these things that we develop and that we rely on and that become a part of who we are and become a part of our personality. They're called defense mechanisms. And when things don't go right, these are what kick in. And these are where we go to for places of safety. And this is our strategy on how to handle things when they go wrong. And it says there that these are ungodly reactions within our person. Last week we called that members. Paul said that inside of my members, I want to do what is wrong. That means down inside of your psyche, your personality. Okay, the id, the ego, the superego, whatever psychological thing you want to add to it, okay? It says that this can happen because we want to prevent ourselves from experiencing harm or fear. And it says that, unfortunately, these rise up to protect us. But the very thing, just like the rich young ruler, the very thing that rises up to protect us from harm and from fear often becomes the very thing that keeps us from attaining success through Jesus Christ. Because unfortunately, when we block out these things in reality, we are also building walls that keeps the Holy Spirit out. And when the Holy Spirit talks to us and says, you should act this way and move in this direction, we have these defense mechanisms that kick up and protect ourselves, not only from the harmful stimuli that's all in our lives, but it is also keeping away the advice, building up, love, all the words of wisdom that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And I'll review with you that the Holy Spirit is the gift of God given to us when we become a regenerated Christian, when we accept Christ's sacrifice at Calvary, when we invite Him to live into our hearts. That's who comes and lives with us, is the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He speaks to us. He gives us words of encouraging, advice. He builds us up. Okay? All the good things. He also tells you, don't do that. Don't do the bad thing here, okay? Don't do that silly thing. Go talk to so-and-so. He does not speak His own words, but speaks the words of Jesus Christ. That's in the book of John. He says He will speak and remind you of all the things that I have taught you and told you about. So He's speaking the words of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is always operating in the will of God the Father. That's what's happening inside of us. But unfortunately, throughout life, and as we have developed into mature adults, these defense mechanisms have built up, and they're there to protect ourselves, all right? But unfortunately, the very thing that is there to protect ourselves becomes the very thing that keeps the Holy Spirit from speaking directly to us, and we block Him out as well, okay? So, it is vital that we somehow remove these from our lives. Now listen, this is not going to be a complete purge ever. You're not ever going to walk away and say, I got it. I got them all out of me. Just like Paul was saying that it is a daily struggle. I have to become a daily sacrifice. It has to happen daily. I have to empty myself daily so that I can be filled with the Holy Spirit daily. This is a daily fight. These are built inside of you. A lot of times these kick up and happen before we ever know what's happening because they are built inside of us. And you say, how am I going to win that battle? The answer is Jesus Christ, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And it says that it is vital that these are removed from our lives so that the Holy Spirit can deal with us. And here's what I really need you to hear this morning. So that you can be healed. Because so many of us are dealing with hurts from so far away. Here's the reality of what's going on in some of our lives. We're being affected daily by a hurt and a pain that happened so long ago that we don't even ponder on the hurt. But the hurt has caused us to do these defense mechanisms and build up all these psychological things, and it defeats us every single day. And it's a hurt, it's caused from a hurt that we don't even think about anymore. Isn't that a terrible thought? Is that we're being defeated by a hurt that we don't even ponder on anymore. It's the residual lingering effect of that pain, and it's because that we have not completely allowed ourselves to heal. Because we haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to come in and do its work appropriately. So let's look at what are these defense mechanisms, okay? Psychology lists 7 to 8. You're getting an Aaron one at it, all right, this morning. Real quick. Number one, denial. This is a very common one, okay? This is just where, like the George Costanza, if you believe it, it's not a lie, right? Okay? So this is where you just block the awareness. You just deny it, like, didn't happen. Okay? And we do that so that if a situation becomes too much to handle, then we just discontinue acknowledging its reality. All right? We refuse to experience the negative situation. We just deny its existence. Repression. This is denial on steroids. This is where you not only move into denial, but you move into a whole nother category of denial to where you purposely and completely forget the experience, even remove it from your memory And this is where you get like those repressed memories and you shove it so down that you don't even allow it to ever enter into your mind because it is too painful to ever think about. And these are repressed. This is repression. And it is an act that the mind is actively deciding to bury memories into your subconscious. And this happens because it is so painful and disturbing and dangerous that it just creates too much stress to deal with when it enters into our awareness or into our reality. So it is denial on steroids. This is repression. Here's another one. Displacement, okay? I should have had you raise your hand when one, like, yeah, I'm guilty of that one, okay? So if we were going to play that game, this is Aaron's here, okay? Displacement. This is what happens. And I'll explain it to you. This is the transferring of your emotions, rage, anger, all those things. And you don't ever show it to the intended target or the person that is causing these emotions to build up inside of you. So someone makes you mad and you would like to show them anger and rage, but instead you go home and you look at your pretty wife and your beautiful family, and that's who you display the anger and the rage towards.
Amen.
We didn't even practice that, did we? Okay? That's the deal. Because somebody's supposed to be a nice preacher guy. Okay? And I wasn't always a nice preacher guy. I'm the grandson of Cecil Ray Phelps. I've got a temper. Takes me a while to get there, but when I put that switch on, man, it's over. I don't care anymore. All right? So sometimes I use all my patience up, and as I'm driving into the garage, I'm like, thank you. I get this off of me. I go in the house like Hulk. Unfortunately, Jake's there playing that game. Like, why are you always playing this game? You think this is all right? He's like, with his headphones on. Okay? So, happens, right? So this is displacement. This is misplaced anger, misplaced emotions. Projection. This has become like a good one with the famous one with the kids. You're projecting on me, man. You're projecting. Your kids say that all the time. All right, this is what they mean here. So this is when a situation happens and it makes us feel anxious, uncomfortable, and then you even move into that area, that dangerous area of self-conscious. It makes you self-conscious. Have you ever become self-conscious about something? Huh? How's the rest of your day go? Pretty much consumed with that, aren't you? Because you're mad that you've allowed yourself to think about that. And then you're also mad because that is a problem in your life. And those people were talking about it, and that's what they were meaning, and that's what they were doing. I know they were acting like they weren't, but that's what they were doing, okay? And that's what's happening here, is that people may be actually innocent, but you've allowed yourself to have these emotions build up inside of you, and you become self-conscious of yourself, and now you are projecting your feelings onto people who might be 100% innocent of what you think they're doing to you. That is projecting. This is called reaction formation. Okay? This is a type of form of denial, but this is where you are guilty of something, you have a belief, or you have something in your life, that's the way that it is, but it's not socially acceptable or not acceptable with your friends or your family. So, in other words, you go overboard on the opposite so that they would never think that you're guilty of that behavior. It's the old famous, like Shakespeare, thou protest too much, methinks. Okay? Have you ever walked away from somebody and say, they're guilty of that because that's all they talk about? Right? Okay. Regression. This is where you make a fool out of yourself. Let's just be honest with one another. Okay? This is where you allow yourself to get so worked up and you allow the emotions of the situation to overcome you that you actually throw a fit and you act like a child. All right? And it is very destructive. And once it happens, there's no coming back from regression. Okay? You show a side of yourself that people will never forget. All right? And this is the classic throwing a childlike fit. And if you deal with your emotions and your anger in that kind of way, then just be aware that that is a dangerous defense mechanism. It not only affects you, but your relationship with everyone who could ever experience you doing that. Rationalization. Here's another one for me, okay? I'm going to raise my hand on this one too. And this is where you just explain away things. Well, this is the reason why that happened. Okay? I call this one the blame game. It's not your fault. It's everybody else's fault. It's kind of like everybody has the crazy cousin, uncle in your family, right? If you're sitting here thinking, I don't think we have one, you're it. You be the guy, okay? Nathan said, thou beest the man, right? Okay? So this is where you explain stuff away because it couldn't possibly be your fault. Now listen, people who use this defense mechanism have a very sensitive ego. Their ego can't be harmed, can't be dented. I'm telling a lot about myself here, right? Okay? And this is a behavior that when someone sees this happening, they say that that person is either very childish or they are very egotistical when they see this behavior comes out. Okay? Sublimation. This is when we transfer our conflicted emotions and we do it in a very productive way. When we get stressed out, sometimes it's called, for women, this is often called nesting. Have you ever nested? Somebody makes you mad and the world gets all stressful. Next thing you know, you could eat off your floors. It's like, what happened here? Okay? So this is where the stress in your life causes you to go into a different, another, and here's the other thing that happens. Usually what is happening is we have a very unsuccessful part of our lives and we become aware of the unsuccess of our lives in that area, and then we take all the hurt, rage, all the emotions that build up because of that, and then we move over here into a very successful part of our life and go crazy. This is why you find musical people. You're not a part of this, all right? So this, we're not talking about you here, all right? Okay, but this is someone, why you see someone who is so talented musically, has all this fame and fortune, and then you find out that their private life was the dumps, and it's like, how in the world could someone that smart and successful act so crazy over here? It's because this is controlling their lives. And they couldn't control anything over here, so they go over here and just go hog wild at what they're successful in doing. Okay? Now those are the eight. Here's the bonus one. You ready for this one? All right, so this is if you have someone in your life who does one of the first eight, and then you allow and support them in their efforts towards doing those defense mechanisms. So someone who explains stuff away, have you ever met their spouse who helps them explain stuff away? They're enabling that person to do that. Okay? Someone who allows themselves to be the target of rage when they did absolutely nothing wrong and they completely accept that as their lot in life, you are enabling your spouse or whoever to misplace their anger onto you. So sometimes we think we're being helpful or supportive, And actually what we're doing is we're helping people pour fire onto their lives. And the sad part of this story is 90% of the time it's someone you love. Okay? So just because you're a bystander doesn't mean you're completely innocent of the destruction going on inside of your family and lives. So what's the strategy? How do you defeat this? Well, the first thing that we have to do is acknowledge. Acknowledge that we have these. And when you see destructive behavior in your lives, you have to understand that these are things that you have built up in your life. They're there for good reason. They're there to protect you. Your body's doing it to protect you. Because we all walk in the flesh. Even Paul said that he walked in the flesh, which means that you have to understand you cannot escape who you are. Like last week, I said, Yogi Berra said it. I also was corrected. Maybe, who was it? Uncle Briggs? Uncle Briggs said it, that wherever you go, there you are. So wherever you go and whatever you do, and however hard you run away from yourself, guess who you're always going to find where you end up? You. I'm going to find myself there too. So you got to get it right. Can't outrun this. You can't run away from yourself. And we do not practice humanism here. So I'm not telling you to become a better person and try to get rid of all these defense mechanisms, because these are built into your members and you can't get rid of them on your own. And if you try to do it by Tuesday, you will hate my guts because you can't do it. And you said, well, that guy said to work harder. It's not what I'm saying here whatsoever. First thing is acknowledge that you can't defeat yourself. But the truth is, you have been defeating yourself all your life. So what's causing you to defeat yourself, you can't defeat that in yourself. Does that make sense? Am I talking in a circle there? Because I'm really confused, all right? No. Okay? And just like the rich young ruler, he could not get past who he was and all that meant to him and how he was latched onto that and how his whole personality was associated with what Jesus Christ went after and said, give this away. It didn't come follow me. He could not do it. He could not get past who he was. So I'm telling you, if you try to do this on your own, you can't do it, because Paul says we walk in the flesh and we will walk according to the flesh. So you have to understand that in order to defeat this thing inside of you, you've got to get some different kind of weapons. And it has to be spiritual weapons. It has to be led. This war has to be led by the Holy Spirit. And this is the worst thing that you'll probably ever hear me say, is that you have to give up who you are. You've got to give it up. Now, that's terrible for me, because I am somewhat of a control freak. Okay? And here is the struggle of my life. I am a very unorganized control freak. So I spin my wheels a lot trying to keep control of things when I don't have it organized enough to know that I have control of it. So I go to sleep very crazy-like, okay? So there's the struggle inside of my head. But we have to get different kind of weapons on how to fight this. And the deal is that if you're trying to do it on your own, you're going to lose. We have to become daily sacrifices, which means that every day when you wake up, your life is not your own. You were bought with a price by the blood of Jesus Christ. He owns us if we're Christians. We are His. So every morning we have to remind ourselves that we belong to Christ. He is our King and Lord. Our lives belong to Him, not to us. We have to give up. In order to win this war, the first thing we have to do is surrender. Doesn't make sense, but that's what we have to do. The next thing that we have to do is not grit our teeth and dig our heels in, but we have to let it go so that the Holy Spirit can fill us, drive us, advise us to do the things that we need to do. And when these defense mechanisms start to come up, the Holy Spirit will be there to break it through. Do you know how I know that? Because it says that These weapons are strong through God to pull down strongholds. You know what strongholds are? These are the things in your lives that you can't get rid of and you can't get past of because they are part of who you are. You ever seen anyone try to get better with their temper? It does not work. You know why? That's who they are. You may keep it together for a little while, but when the right kind of stimulus pop up, guess what? You're going to lose your mind. And then it's going to be like an atomic bomb going off because you've got all this repressed stuff going on that you've repressed and squashed down for the last so many months, years, or however long it's been since you've gone crazy. Must be kind of hitting some nerves or something here, man. You guys are kind of, you're giving me like the stink eye this morning. Okay? But strongholds are these things inside of us. They're who we are. We can't beat it. You have to let the Holy Spirit do it for you. And if you're going to try to figure it out through arguments and through worldly wisdom and read some kind of psychological book or something, then you're not going to be able to do it. Only the high things, okay, allow you to defeat these things. But anything that thinks it's smarter than God is foolishness. We got a lot of stuff out there that says, don't cling to religion. Go with this. Religion is fantasy land. This is educational stuff. But this is what it's saying. If you're going to knock down these strongholds, you have to use a different kind of weapon. All right? You have to understand that if you're going to beat these arguments and all the things that think they're better than God, you have to do it, and you have to do it through the Holy Spirit, because only the Holy Spirit can take the things in your heart and in your soul and in your personality, these things we call strongholds, they can take those, break down the strongholds, and then keep those soldiers that man those strongholds and keep them in captivity so that we can be obedient to Christ. And we can do the things that He's calling us to do. If you have been sitting here for thousands of years in sermons or whatever, and you've heard all these sermons about go do what God's calling you to do, and this has been such a struggle to do, and you are trying to work it out and do what God's calling you to do and be a better Christian and all that stuff, and then you come each and every week and say, well, I failed another week, okay? It just didn't work out. It's because you, even if you are a Christian, you have to become aware of these defense mechanisms, these things that are built inside of you that are keeping the Holy Spirit from coming in and having total dominion over your life. And until you let the Holy Spirit have total dominion over your life, you will never experience the victory that's available to you through Jesus Christ. Okay? So you need to be ready each and every day to go to war. This is not an ice game. Okay? These things don't die easily. These things don't go away easily. This is actual warfare. You have to get up each and every day knowing that if you rely on yourself and if you don't prepare properly for the day, you will fail. It's built inside of us. You can't get past it. The only way you do is to give up every day, ask to be emptied of yourself, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, present yourself as a living sacrifice, and understand that if you rely on self, you will be self-defeated. Only victory comes through Jesus Christ. So I'm going to have you stand this morning. And I'm completely aware that this is a rough sermon. This is a rough sermon because no one escapes this one. This hits every single person that listens to it because we all have these built inside of us, and every single one of us can be our own worst enemy and our own source of failure. So here's what I'm asking you this morning to do, okay, is that we have got to get past ourselves. On an individual level, we have got to get past ourselves. If you're honest with yourself, some of the disharmony that exists inside of your households, if you're honest with yourself, you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm the source of a lot of it. Just him. Okay? And you have to say, I'm thankful that whoever I live with and my spouse and my family, they look past that and love me anyways. And then you have to say, you know what? The people I live with are crazy too. Okay? Have to be, or else they wouldn't have hooked up with me. All right? So they're crazy too. And you have to say, I'm thankful that through the Holy Spirit, I can love and forgive them even for who they are. And then you have to acknowledge that if you guys rely on yourselves, your house will fall. The house that is built on sand cannot withstand the storm, but the house that is built on the rock, Jesus Christ, can withstand any kind of weather that ever hits that house. That's straight words from Jesus Christ right there. And that's what that's saying. And so many times we fail, we don't know why we fail, and it's because of who we are naturally. And so many of us have been living this struggle for so long because we're not acknowledging where the trouble actually is, and it's at a very deep, deep cellular level of who we are. And then we have to come together as a church and say that we got to get past ourselves. We're a collection of a bunch of broken people. What could go wrong, right? And the answer to that is the success relies in our trust and faith in the mission presented to us through Jesus Christ. That's it. And if we're ever going to make a difference in this world, we have to get past ourselves. And we have to be people who are led by the Holy Spirit. Because that is the only way that you do the true, perfect will of God. That's straight scripture right there. Okay? So here's what I'm asking you to do. If you're worried about your families and you want to protect yourself from yourselves, then I'm begging you, as your pastor who loves you and wants your families to succeed and be healthy, come up and pray about it. And if you're worried about this church and what we do here, then I'm begging you, as your pastor, to come up and let's pray about it collectively so that we can get past all this madness and all this brokenness and we can go out and make a difference in the world and we can live healthy lives with the people that God has blessed us with in our lives. I open up the altars to you this morning.